9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. The good, the Nuggets, one win away from going to their first ever NBA Finals. We'll have it on the team tonight at 6. The ugly, the Rockies getting absolutely eviscerated, destroyed by the Rangers in Texas. The good, Cutterman Mesa Baseball, they're on to the Super Regional. The bad, it's at Angelo, Texas. Come on, UT Tyler. You had a 3-0 lead. Oh, it would have been so
wonderful. This is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. It would have been wonderful to have the Super Regional here in Grand Junction. We have all 10 teams in for the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. So yesterday, you had Delgado Community College of Louisiana, Joe Sherman and his Dolphins. They beat Seminole State College to win the South Central District. And so they have punched their ticket. They win it in the 10th inning when Josh Alexander doubled to center field to score the winning run and clinched their first appearance since 2016. Unfortunately for Delgado, they're 1-10 in the series, though. It's been a struggle.
Yeah, I think their last time out is their first win.
Exactly.
I remember talking to Joe Sherman because we don't usually get to do post-game interviews with Joe because they go 0-2 and we talk to the winner. It's unfortunate. I remember he's like, this is a little weird for me.
It's a lot, yeah. Also, Johnson County Community College of Kansas, they beat championship runner-up Darren Burroughs and Cowley County, Kansas. Cavaliers lost to the Tigers 7-2 in their first game on Sunday before winning 11-2. It'll be their first appearance since 2014. They have yet to win in the series. Ken Shelley, who's in the JUCO, the NJCA Coaches Hall of Fame, great guy, was their head coach. He's now retired, but Johnson County coming here to play in the Junior College World Series. So whoever wins it, it'll be the first time because all 10 teams have never won it before. Johnson County Community College of Kansas, Delgado, Louisiana, they're in, as we mentioned. Also the College of Central Florida, Shelton State, Alabama, Wabash Valley, Illinois, and Blinn, Texas. We have the four first-time teams with Gaston, North Carolina, Weatherford, Texas, Salt Lake City Community College, and Andrew College of Georgia. Now, Dusty Hart, the coach of Blinn, he's been here before. He won a championship. He's got a championship with Grayson, though, back in 2008. We had the chance to talk with Dusty Hart the other day about his ball club coming to Grand Junction to play in the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series.
It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
And joining us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. His team is the number 8 team in the nation right now in the NJCAA Division I Baseball Rankings. Former coach at Grayson, now the coach at Blinn Community College in Texas. Dusty Hart joins us. Dusty, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Of course, we saw you so many times up here with Grayson. You won the championship in 2008. So after all those years at Grayson, this your first year at Blinn. Tell us why you made the move from Grayson to Blinn.
Well, I think there's a lot of answers to that question, probably. But I think the biggest one, I mean, is as long as I've been doing this since the late 90s, Blinn has always kind of been that unicorn, so to speak. I think everybody in the state of Texas always, you know, said Blinn College is a phenomenal job, and you know, it has all the facilities and just the location. Even, I mean, we're kind of in the triangle of Houston, Austin, and College Station, so you know, which is by far the most fertile recruiting ground in the state of Texas. And you know, 20 years is a long time to be at one place. I mean, I loved Grayson, and I played at Grayson, coached at Grayson. It was the only job I'd ever known, and I kind of, part of me was just, I need to do something new. I need to have some new experiences in life, and that's probably the simplest answer to that question, is it was just time to do something else.
Well, the change for you and for Blinn has been a tremendous marriage between both those interests, because you were named the Region 14 Coach of the Year. Your freshman, Tanner Reeves, was named the Region 14 Player of the Year. So it's been a good start to your time at Blinn.
Yeah, and this place is unbelievable. I mean, it's such a good place to work, and the people here are so supportive. I couldn't have asked for a better place to pick up and move to, that's for sure. I mean, they want to win. They love baseball. I mean, I've never seen a better junior college atmosphere in my life than what we had going in the regional tournament. So it's just been a great experience all the way around.
So tell me more about Tanner Reeves. I mentioned he was the Region 14 Player of the Year. A tremendous season for him, hitting .423. Lead your team in batting average, lead your team in ribbies with 70, 15 home runs as well, 20 doubles. He leads in all those categories. He's had a sensational freshman campaign.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a really good hitter. That guy's a really good hitter. He's got a really good feel for what he's doing with a bat in his hands. You know, he doesn't get fooled very often on pitches. And, you know, it's a great story because he was actually with me at Grayson last year and we redshirted him. He's from a little bitty high school about 25 minutes east of Grayson from Bonham High School. And the game was just a little fast for him. And we had a really sophomore dominant team, so we were fortunate enough that it allowed us to redshirt him and let him grow and get bigger and stronger. And I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you I saw this coming, but you know, you could definitely see that the ability was there even last year. You know, he just needed time to let the game slow down a little bit.
We're talking with Dusty Hart, former Grayson Community College coach, now the coach of Blinn Community College in Texas, and Denison, Texas, the number 8 team in the nation. And Dusty, take us through your pitching, because, you know, just looking at the numbers, just giving kind of a quick look, you don't have a real, you know, dominant guy that's won, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 games for you. Looks like you have some pretty good depth as far as your pitching staff goes.
Well, so it's kind of weird how that all happened. Sam Crane, who is, you know, we consider one of our best guys, and Caden Didal, going into the season, those two guys were pretty much our number one and number two, and they both got hurt. I think they both made 3 or 4 starts early, and then we just got them back about 3 weeks ago. I think Caden and Sam missed at least almost a month and a half of the season. So we did have to have some other guys kind of step up, and you know, I think that's made us better as a team. And now with those two guys being back, you know, we got some other guys, some good experience, and they got in the heat of the battle, and now we kind of got to move them a little bit into the bullpen to where it just helped our depth out. But, you know, we consider those guys a true number one and number two. We just didn't have them. So to do what we did without you know, your top two arms, it says a lot about this team as a whole. I mean, we got a really good group of guys, and other guys stepped up, and, you know, they weren't selfish, and there wasn't any bad attitudes when those guys did come back, and other guys kind of got pushed to the bullpen. You know, they all just accepted them back and said, man, let's go win this thing.
We're talking with Dusty Hart, coach of Blinn College out of Denison, Texas, and you have the Region 14 Super Regional this weekend. Dusty, it's your place, Paris Junior College. You're going to be scoring off against them. Kind of take us through that series with Paris coming up.
Yeah, Paris is really hot right now. I mean, they kind of walked through the East Regional. I think they averaged 13 runs a game. So we're going to have our hands full for sure. I mean, we played them early, and we typically play every team in their conference and in our non-conference. So we know how good those guys are, Navarro and Angelina and Tyler, and for Paris to get through that gauntlet, you know, we're excited for the opportunity, but we also know we're going to have to play really good to beat them.
What do you tell your kids? I mean, you've been here, and you've won a championship in Grand Junction. What do you tell your players, your Buccaneers now, here in 2023, about coming to Grand Junction and what that experience is like or what it could potentially be like for them?
Basically, it's the most fun they'll ever have in their life. I mean, as a player and as a coach, it's the most fun I've ever had playing baseball. It's the most fun I ever had coaching baseball. It's pretty much worth any sacrifice that you're willing to make to get there. And, you know, it's not easy to get there either. So, I mean, we got to stay locked in this weekend and try to win two games. But whatever you got to do, man, I mean, it's just, it's an unbelievable community. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know, you live there. But for us, especially in junior college, we don't see that very often, you know, or ever. Unless you make it to Grand Junction, you never get to experience something like that. So it's something that you tell, you know, I tell my kids about it all the time. And anybody that asks me, it's just like, it's the most fun I've ever had in a baseball uniform in my entire life.
All right, that's Dusty Hart, the coach of Blinn Community College from Brenham, Texas. They captured the Mid-South Championship, and so they'll be making their seventh appearance in the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. That interview, of course, was before they won the Mid-South District Championship. And like the rest of the teams in this year's field, the other nine teams, they have not won a championship. They've been here in 1962, 64, 65, 68, 1992, 2014, and now 2023.
So I've been doing a little bit of digging on some of the teams. And Dusty Hart at Grayson took over for Tim Tadlock, right?
Right.
There's a Tadlock on Weatherford from Lubbock, Texas. Didn't Tim go off to the Texas Tech Red Raiders?
He went to coach it
in Lubbick. I wonder if that is the son of Tim.
Yeah,
Tadlock.
I think he did go coach at Texas Tech.
On the other Texas school. Interesting. Which also has, I believe, Coach Lightfoot's son on that team as well.
Correct.
So I just noticed that. I know it has nothing to do with Blinn, but kind of tangentially, maybe a little. It does have to.
And Tim is still at Texas Tech.
So, just maybe, you know, there's a couple Grayson ties with the Vikings.
His son's name is Benjamin.
That would be Ben Tadlock, yes.
Yep, so
there we go.
That is Tim's son.
The random bank of JUCO knowledge strikes again. That is my mind. Has random stuff in it.
Yeah. Of course, Tim was at Grayson. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Dusty took over for him.
He won two national championships and got one heave-ho, if I remember correctly. Tim Tadlock.
Think so, yeah.
I remember that ejection, too, because he didn't make a straight line to the mound, but he kind of made a little weave, and he waited for the home plate umpire to get there. To have a discussion about the strike zone, which ended in Tim Tadlock missing the rest of the game.
Ended up him getting tossed.
Yeah, he gone. I just remember that sort of thing, too. It's not my favorite JUCO ejection story, but it's still a pretty good one.
And also at Blinn, I was doing a little digging of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And one of, let's see, I'm trying to grab the site here because I saw it yesterday of one of the associate head coach for Dusty Hart is Eric Weaver. And Eric Weaver, longtime assistant coach at San Jacinto North.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah. So there's another connection with another program.
A former Raven, which still sounds weird.
Yeah, I think he'd say he was a Gator.
Yeah. Hey, but at least this year, don't have to worry about
now he's a
calling him the Gator.
Now he's a Buccaneer.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about trying to make that adjustment from Gators to Ravens or anything like that. But they'll do the seating today, and so, of course, we'll have our coverage starting first pitch at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning right here on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, let's get after it.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting tournament. Like I said, somebody's going to be a first-time winner. Four brand new teams coming here.
Salt Lake is here for the first time ever.
Which they've been knocking at the door for a very, very long time.
And I was in Salt Lake 3-4 weeks ago. We drove by two different campuses. But the first one we drove by, I'm like, oh, I know them because they're always on the doorstep of JUCO. They've never made it, though. See, the broadcaster's jinx strikes again, but this time for good instead of evil.
And their coach, who's been there now for quite some time, and that's D.B. Nelson, that...
Bad. We kind of stopped calling for him.
Or I'm sorry, D.G. Nelson, excuse me. D.G. Nelson. David Nelson, but he goes by D.G. Yeah, they're always like...
I always felt bad. It's like, oh, you're ranked third, whatever, come on. And then he'd come on, and then they'd get bounced. Like, you know what? Let's wait until they get here.
But he was on the staff. Remember which he was on the staff at? Dixie State with Mike Littlewood.
That was four names ago for that college.
Yeah. Mike Littlewood, you know where he is now?
No, I don't.
He's coach at BYU. So DG was his assistant. He was there when...
2004.
I believe he was there when they won the national championship, mm-hmm. DG was. Mike Littlewood, another guy that had a epic getting tossed on the first day of the tournament.
Yeah, he had a pretty good meltdown.
Yeah, it was pretty good. All right, 9-16. So congratulations to all the teams coming to Grand Junction. We're going to get hopefully all the coaches on throughout the course of this week. And we'll probably get Dusty Hart on again.
Yeah.
Get a fresh interview for you from Dusty Hart, along with the rest of the coaches that are, and talk about their teams that are coming to town for this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Get your tickets for the tournament. Get your tickets. So for the tournament, you can get them at JUCOGJ.org. And you can also get the banquet tickets at the JUCO office in the Home Loan Building. And we're going to have four banquet tickets we're going to give away.
Sweet.
And we might have some single game tickets we're giving away, too, throughout the course of the week. All right, 9-17, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Let's see, from Jim this morning. Morning, guys. I heard a crazy stat. 30-plus assists, 5 turnovers. Crazy Nuggets. Crazy Nuggets need to apply foot to throat and don't back off.
Agreed.
Let's see. We got one. Because we made the comment about John Deere.
Oh, yeah?
By just playing in a John Deere. Mm-hmm. Just that average term like the John Deere, something like that. Fortunately, our friend Mr. Bond at the local John Deere dealer did not... He didn't take exception to that. I'm glad you didn't take offense, Jared. Appreciate that. Kyle, the good, the bad, the ugly, the good, the Nuggets, the bad, ESPN halftime coverage of WCF, of Ocean Conference Finals, and the ugly, my front lawn. Why is it so ugly? Not does it need to be mowed? Not watering enough? What's the deal? What's going on, Kyle, with your lawn?
Are you watering too much? That's a problem.
It could be a problem as well.
You know.
That can be a problem,
too. We have a little bit of a garden growing, too, now, which is nice.
Oh, good.
We got a little bitty baby Anaheim pepper. I'm super excited.
Is this your first gardening experience?
Yes. As an adult, by choice.
Not by force.
Yes.
Yeah, we had one of those gardens when I was a kid, too.
Yeah. You're going to come out and help me pick green beans. I don't really want to do that.
I bet you're going to.
You're not going to eat dinner, then. All right.
Okay, I guess so. All right, 9:19, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Talking Grand Junction Tiger Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, more Tiger Talk this morning on the program. And joining us right now is Jake Stanfield from the Grand Junction Boys Lacrosse Team, and he's brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Jake Stanfield joins us. Jake, I appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mr. Davis? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing fine. You can call me Jim, but I appreciate the Mr. Davis, but you can call me Jim. If I can call you Jake or not Mr. Stanfield.
That's perfect.
Great. Well, fantastic. Well, I know that you guys were hoping to have a season like you did last year in lacrosse over at Grand Junction High School. Didn't quite work out that way. but still a really good season for your team. But for you, the reason we're talking with you today, Jake, you've been selected an academic All-American, and you're going to get an award for it at the All-State game coming up. It's going to be presented between the 4A and 5A game coming up actually tomorrow. Tell us about this award, acknowledging your accomplishments in the classroom. Congratulations on being an academic All-American.
Well, thank you, Jim. The award, it's a national recognition on extracurriculars, academic success, and athletic success. So there's a bunch of students from all over the country nominated for a variety of sports, but a lot of service, academic success, and athletic success are kind of the common denominators there.
Of course, you played basketball and lacrosse for Grand Junction High School, but this is going to be during the lacrosse All-State game. And I guess tell us about, first, your GPA and maybe some of the things you've done away from the court and away from the lacrosse field that helped you get this award. What are some of those community service things you've been involved with, Jake?
So my GPA is about 4.25, and one of the biggest community service projects I've been involved in is I did work crew for our local Young Life, and I went down to Arizona, and last summer I served for a month, and I stayed at the camp, and I served food. So that was a big contributor to my community service hours. I've also, throughout my high school career, I've delivered kids' aid bags to Grand Junction High School. So that's also helped a lot, I think.
We're talking with Jake Stanfield. He has been selected as an academic All-American, played lacrosse for the Grand Junction Tigers and also basketball for Grand Junction as well. And Jake, in your commitment to community service, your commitment to the classroom, who's played maybe the most prominent role in both those areas for you? Who's been a big influence for you?
I think probably my dad. He's always pushed me, I mean, athletically, outside of the school, outside of field. But also, especially academically, he's always been the guy that's, you know, sat me down and helped me with my math homework when I wasn't understanding it. He's pushed me to, you know, want to get good grades. He's pushed me to have high expectations for myself, essentially. So I really owe a lot of it to him.
And when you hear that you're an academic All-American and it's a national award, I mean, that has to be something that, while being named to All Mountain League team or something like that, or All Southwestern League of Basketball, those are really nice honors, and those are great accomplishments. But this has to be just an incredible sense of pride to get a national award for what you do in the classroom and helping the community. Just kind of take us through the feeling when you first heard that you received this award.
Yeah, I mean, this level of recognition I didn't really expect. To be honest, I wasn't even aware of the award before one of my teammates' dads brought it up to me and told me that I should try and go for it. But hearing that I got it was super exciting. I think that especially athletics in the Valley doesn't get a whole lot of recognition on the state level, so being recognized on the national level it's really exciting.
We're talking with Jake Stanfield, who will receive tomorrow his academic All-America recognition, a national award for what he's done in the classroom at Grand Junction High School. Can I ask, who was the lacrosse dad that recommended you try to go after the award?
That was Keith Mottram. He brought it up to me, and he put together a lot of the application. Keith Mottram and our head coach, Armando Renteria, both had a huge role in this award.
I know Keith, former Grand Junction Tiger football player, part of that state championship team in 88, and I know Keith well. And then Coach Renteria, he was the one who actually reached out to me and said, hey, Jake is going to get this award. Can you at least mention? I go, how about we do one better than that? How about we have Jake come on and talk about the award himself? As far as your athletic career, who's kind of helped shape that for you, Jake, with basketball and lacrosse?
You mentioned your dad, but
what about from a coaching standpoint?
From a coaching standpoint, I think Coach Armando in lacrosse has helped me out a lot, because I've had him, he coached me in middle school too. And then once I got to high school, he was also the head coach at Junction. So in reality, the majority, actually the entirety of my lacrosse career has been playing for him. So a lot of the successes I see are because of him.
Jake Stanfield joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You talk about, you know, you're on in the all-league team for playing lacrosse, which is on the field. And you got the off-the-field work that comes with it. You're an All-American. You have all the activities, you know, giving back to the community off the field. And the grade point average means you're not sloughing off on any classes at all and, you know, turning in homework 5 days late. Where do you find the
time?
Sounds
like you.
I didn't turn it in at all. Where do you find, how do you juggle the time doing all of these things and doing all of them well? How is that, come easy to you? How do you juggle that?
Well, I kind of realized that it just comes down to sacrifice, that if I want to accomplish a goal, whether it's athletic or academic or elsewhere, that, you know, sometimes things need to be sacrificed. So there's been multiple, you know, lunches that I've missed with my friends, multiple nights that I had to stay in and do homework, et cetera. You know, things I had to miss after school because I'm going to practice. I kind of learned that there are things that I need to sacrifice if I want to find success, you know?
Who's the teacher that's maybe had the biggest influence on you, Jake?
My advanced leadership teacher, Mr. Gregory, I think has played a pretty big role in my life. He got to introduce me at graduation, which meant a lot to me as well. But yeah, he's had a pretty big influence on me. I've had him for 2 years in a row now.
So what's next for Jake Stanfield in regard to college and life after being a Grand Junction Tiger?
Yep. Well, I get the summer off and then I'm going to CU Boulder and I'm going to study marketing.
So what's the plan with the marketing degree? Ultimately, what do you hope to do with it?
I think we'll have to see where it shapes out. I haven't gotten that far yet. So hopefully, hopefully opportunities will come to me. I'll figure it out as I go, I think.
Yeah, one step at a time, right? One step at a time.
So is the summer off actually off, or is there more community service stuff that you're doing, more young life that you're doing, or is this literally just backyard with an ice cold soda in the sunshine off? What's exactly time off for Jake Stanfield?
Well, I mean, time off is definitely a relative term. I won't have practices or basketball camps or traveling for lacrosse tournaments, but I think I'll still be working a job and hopefully hitting the gym a decent amount. So,
and you mentioned your involvement with Young Life with Luke Feather and that group. Kind of take us through how the impact that that's had on your life, being involved in Young Life.
Well, yeah, Luke especially has had a big impact on my life. Just finding a community, I think, is really important. And I've found a lot of friends through Young Life. I met a lot of really cool people last year when I did Work Crew. And yeah, Young Life has kind of given me a little bit of an identity in high school. Yeah.
Hey, Jay, congratulations on the Academic All-American Award. Well-deserved. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And best of luck over at CU. And good luck with the marketing degree. And enjoy your summer, whatever you do. Have a great summer and get ready for a busy fall over in Boulder, I'm sure. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Jake Stanfield, the Grand Junction boys lacrosse team, also Grand Junction boys basketball player as well.
I didn't even know you could turn in homework. I thought you just took it home, did it, and left it there.
No, you that's why it's called homework, because
do it at home, you leave it at home.
You just leave it at home.
Separation.
No, they need
compartmentalize.
They need to grade it. They need to be able to see now.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
This day and age, you could just, you know, email it to your teacher or whatever. You could do that. Scan it and email it. But not when you were matriculating. No, you needed to finish the work and bring it back to school.
Who does that?
Guys like Jake Stanfield that get Academic All-Americans and go to CU.
You know what? I didn't do any of my homework.
That's the guys who do that, yeah.
I didn't do any of my homework, barely went to class, and look at me now. You too, kids.
You can work in radio. And forget to bring in your homework. And
forget. I like how you say forget.
Be able to, like myself, scuffle through high school and college to attempt to make something out of yourself.
You do your homework? Meh.
Yeah.
Do's a relative term.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately for Jake Stanfield and his parents, Jake commits to it, turned it in, and he has a very promising future. All right, 9:33.
There's some I haven't done that he might be able to help me out with.
Same here. I'm sure he could probably help both of us out. All right, it's 9:33, and it's time for This Day in Sports History.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, well, let's go back, way, way back, way, way back. 1877, Baden-Baden, ridden by C. Holloway, catches Leonard just before turning to the stretch and wins the Kentucky Derby by two lengths. 1962, Roger Maris walks five times, four of them a record for intentionally in a nine-inning game. 1975, Artis Gilmore scores 28 points and grabs 31 rebounds to lead the Kentucky Colonels to a 110-105 win over Indiana for the ABA championship. 1985, Pete Rose, his 2,108th run passes Hank Aaron as the National League scoring leader. Also on this day, 1990, Andre Dawson receives a record five intentional walks in a game. 1991, NFL owners agree to add two teams in 1994. Do you remember the two teams?
Carolina, Jacksonville.
That would be correct. Also on this day, 1994, the Toronto NBA franchise unveils the name Raptors along with their logo. Also on this day, 2003, Annika Sorenstam becomes the first woman to play in a PGA Tour event in 58 years when she shoots a 71 in the first round of the Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. She misses the cut the next day by four shots.
I don't think people really understand how incredible that was.
Yes.
For her to shoot that well.
And to almost make the cut.
Almost make the cut.
Against the guys.
On like 80 yards per hole, somewhere around there. Extra driving distance.
Yeah.
Incredible golfer.
9:35. That's this day in sports history. We will take a break and we'll come back. Got some garbage time on the way for you. Still sending your text today. Predictions on the Nuggets, Lakers tonight. Do the Nuggets finish the series tonight? Your thoughts on that? Our coverage starts at 6 tonight with Jason Kosmiski and Scott Hastings. Text or call Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Stay by the radio. You're listening to The Jim Davis Show on The Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 9:39. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So, Nuggets with a chance to make it to their first ever NBA Finals if they can win in LA tonight. Right now, if history is correct, it'll be the Heat and the Nuggets. Both teams are up, the Heat and the Nuggets, 3-0 in their respective series. It's what, 149-0?
Something like that, yeah.
Nobody has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Not even LeBron.
Not even LeBron.
You know who did? Jordan didn't ever did it either. I don't know if he was ever down 3-0, but he never came back from 3-0.
Nor did Wilt, nor did Kareem and Magic. So history clearly on the side of the Nuggets and the Heat tonight. Well, the Nuggets tonight, Heat winning last night. And not that I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I just don't. But I'm going to a little bit.
NBA Finals start. XXX.
Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic. Jimmy Butler, certainly one of the hottest, if not maybe the hottest player in the postseason. And Nikola Jokic.
That was the Celtics boat ticking on water there is what that was.
If you're the league, you're not going to be happy with this.
No. On the doorstep of Lakers Celtics, you roll back all that Bob McAdoo footage and Bobby Jones or whoever. Now it's Nuggets Heat.
But if you love basketball, this is the matchup you want.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if you love great team basketball, particularly the Nuggets, this is the one that you want. Because while they have Joker and Blue Arrow, the Denver's win the other night in Game 3, that was a team win.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of their wins have been team wins. It's been the way other guys have played. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a Michael Porter Jr. in stretches. Bruce Brown, obviously, off the bench in the way he's played. Even Uncle Jeffy the other night hits a big three in the corner. And it's been about Aaron Gordon, what he's done defensively. It's about the team concept, and it's not about super teams.
Right, and we've seen that the last few years. Super teams won a couple here and there, you know. And, yeah, the Warriors with KD was a super team, but the team also won before and after him that was drafted and developed together. You know, Steph didn't come out of Davidson as that dude's going to win five championships.
Right.
Draymond, Klay Thompson is the same thing. They are a team. Kind of like they were built and developed over the course of years, kind of like the Nuggets have been. The Heat, to a lesser extent. They have four undrafted guys on their team that Pat Riley has found and Eric Spoelstra has developed into. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. They were in the NBA Finals against the Lakers.
Let me give you some numbers here. Gabe Vincent, 29 points from last night.
Yeah.
You know his status? Drafted, undrafted?
Undrafted.
Duncan Robinson, 22 points.
Also undrafted.
Caleb Martin, 18 points.
Undrafted.
Three undrafted players that were their top three scorers last night.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
With Jimmy Butler.
With Jimmy Butler.
I mean, so that's Pat Riley has drafted and developed these guys along with Eric Spoelstra. And I don't think he gets enough credit because he kind of, as a young coach, rode the tail of LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh to four finals and two wins. But since then, he's had the Heat kind of competitive. And this is what the Heat are typical, or the prototype, I guess, and the Nuggets are as well, that you saw a lot of late last week. I don't know if you saw it, but I saw a lot of being bad in the NBA is a choice. Because there's enough good players out there. You just got to find them. Those three guys you rattled off about the Heat, they're out there for everybody. It's not like you had to be in the lottery to draft those guys. They're out there for everybody. Free agents are out there for everybody. Some teams go and find them. Some teams choose not to. And some teams just can't do it because they don't have the right people in place. So it's really a point. It's an 8 seed. I mean, Lakers are an 8 seed too, but they have LeBron and AD. But
right. The
Heat were an 8 seed. Being bad in the NBA is a choice.
It's finding guys that are willing to buy in.
Yeah.
Guys that are committed. And in the case of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who won a title with the Lakers in the bubble,
he said
from the jump, he knew that the Nuggets were capable of winning a championship with the talent that they have with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, but just the environment there, the ship that Michael Malone runs, that he felt like this team is. It kind of paraphrasing a little bit, the things I saw in the Lakers when we won the title are things that I see here in terms of leadership, in terms of chemistry, and guys knowing their roles.
There's a pecking order.
Right. And for Michael Porter Jr., it's taken a while for him to kind of learn his role, correct?
Absolutely. Really 100%.
He's a guy that there's a little touch of Bones Highland. Look what they were lucky to get me in the first round. A lot of teams wanted me. Denver traded up to get me. Look at my skill set. Look at how good of a player I potentially can be.
Yep.
And he could sit there and talk about why does Michael Malone sit me down the fourth quarter? And sometimes
untrustworthy.
Because he particularly on the defensive end, he was unreliable. He's finally bought in. And when you buy in, you're going to have a place and a role on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that role is not what you think what you thought it should be. But you got to look around and go, we got Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
They're better players than I am at this stage. They're more consistent. I need to find a place where I fit in a role where I can contribute and help us win. And he's done that. You haven't heard him grousing, whining, complaining about not being in at certain times. And he's earned those opportunities to be in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
With the way he's played on both ends of the floor. Good shot selection, smart decisions offensively, better effort defensively. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, guy that won a championship. Well, I should be getting more you know, opportunities on the offensive end. He doesn't say that. He picks his moments. Or he's a contributor. And he contributes on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Brown could be screaming for more playing time, but he's not, because he's a big time weapon off the bench for them right now. It's like you said, finding those undrafted guys that fit in, that are just looking hungry for an opportunity, and the veteran guys that have played on other teams, or a young talent in Michael Porter Jr., and getting them to buy in to what their roles are going to be. And Denver's been able to do that. The Heat, they've been able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's not like these two teams, it's not like the Heat and the Nuggets don't have superstars. They do. But it's not all about those guys and what they do in terms of their overall success in a series.
Mm-hmm. They have lottery picks. They have late round, second round picks. They have undrafted guys. They have two-way players. They got guys that fit into their role and guys that buy into their role. And they have people that coach to the players' strengths, not necessarily round peg, square hole type coaches. And they have front offices that will take a flyer on players and develop. Michael Porter Jr., yeah, they traded up to get him. It was a reach. Because he played five games in college? Six?
Yeah, something like that. It was five or less.
You know, that's a reach. It was. Well, no matter what Michael Porter Jr. says, and God bless him for having all the self-confidence in the world, that's a reach. But they saw something, and they've developed him into, he's going to be a third scoring option on a team in the NBA Finals if all goes according to plan tonight or Wednesday night.
Which, if you're him, you need to be thrilled with that.
Yes.
That I'm still an important player on this team, and we're going to have a chance to win a championship, which that's your number one goal, right? Yep. Should be your number one goal.
100%.
Some guys, you'll wonder if that's their goal or not. But in the case, I'd like to think for Michael Porter Jr., it probably is. All right, 9:49. We'll have Nuggets and Lakers tonight. Chance to close it out in L.A. Our coverage starts at 6, tip-off at 6:30 with Jason Kosmiski.
It's so nice.
And Scott Hastings. Yeah, I got to love it.
I love it.
Nice little earlier
watch
time.
Almost all of that before you start to kind of fade.
All right, it's 9:49, and it's time to hop in the dumpster. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Nope, wrong one. Didn't mean to hit that one. Oops, wrong one. Here we go. Cursor went the wrong way.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the cursor's fault,
it's
not my fault.
The cursor.
The curse of the cursor. I like that. Okay. Bases are bigger now in Major League Baseball, which has led to more steals, something that was, you know, byproduct of Major League Baseball, what they were hoping for with larger bases. But the Pirates' Andrew McCutchen, he's not entirely thrilled with the new rules that encourage base running. And it's not so much about the base size. He says that he believes infielders are more often blocking the bag with their bodies. It's not against the rules, but it's risky enough, and that McCutchen wants Major League Baseball to do something to stop it. He says it's inevitable that someone's going to get hurt. The only thing we can do is slide cleats first and possibly injure the fielder or injure both of us. If MLB is all about preventing injuries like they do at the plate with the catcher, why isn't there a rule that says if you're receiving the ball in a steal attempt, you can't block the base? Remember back in 2014, Buster Posey's left leg was shattered, and then Major League Baseball implemented new rules for runners and catchers on plays at the plate. Does McCutchen have a point?
I don't think so. He's only taken off for 5 attempts this year, and he's been safe on 4 of them. So apparently they're not blocking the bag that much.
Maybe not the best guy to be the spokesperson for this.
You don't have to. You're Andrew McCutchen. What's the guy get a Snitker or whatever, whoever's the manager? Derek Shelton, sorry. What's he going to do? Say, like, nah, Kutch, that's not how we run things here. If you say, nah, I don't want to steal because I don't want to get hurt. You might get sat down. You might get DFA.
That's why you learn how to do a hook slide, right?
Right. But I don't. It's not like they're laying down in front of the bag. They're not doing it any differently now than they have been, at least from what I see.
Right. It's not like they're dropping a knee.
Right.
With shin guards on.
They're
chest
not Patrick
protector.
Waugh butterfly stand steel.
Yeah, I tend to throw the BS flag on that one. That it's no, but because steals are up, that means okay, the potential incidents are up of those things happening, but it's not the same as a collision with a catcher, a fully geared up catcher.
And
you do have the ability to slide around, hook slide.
It kind of strikes me as if I don't agree with not having the shift because it results in more base hits and I have to run harder. That would be something I would say.
Yeah, I just.
But that's kind of along the. It's like.
I'm just not sure that that's a really
like
valid.
Coach.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think it's really a valid complaint right now. Also, Nikola Jokic is one of the best players in the league. That Lisa Salter's just heard about, by the way.
Yeah, last week, actually.
That don't expect Nikola Jokic to be a coach anytime soon. Now, after the game ended. Michael Malone gave some insight on why the game seemed like it was the Jamal and Nikola show down the stretch. Him and Jamal were playing a two-man game, and I have to give all the credit where credit is due. That was Nikola's call. He said on the bench, let's go to this play. Let me and Jamal play the whole side of the floor, and we'll make the right reads. And we milked that down the stretch. So Coach Jokic did a great job tonight, which Nikola Jokic just said, I don't want to be a coach. I think that's the worst job on the planet for sure. I think there are worse jobs, Nikola, but we get the vibe here that you have no desire to be a coach ever.
And Mike Malone's right too, because you watch that fourth quarter, whoever got the ball on a rebound or an inbound, Joker was like not even a pass. It was standing next to him. Give me the ball. Like, you don't get to play. It's just me and Jamal right now. And they'd go down, and that's what I was talking about with Jeff Van Gundy, right? They'd run that pick and roll. They'd ISO one of the guys, and it's backwards. Usually the big guy is the pick.
Right.
You know, and it's backwards, but it worked. Jamal Murray was great. Nikola Jokic was incredible. And to know that it was Nikola saying, yeah, we're going to do this, coach. not asking, telling Mike Malone. And Mike Malone being like, all right, do it.
You know what? That's what you guys think.
Love it.
Also, I don't know if you caught the moment where referee Scott Foster got clipped in the mouth unintentionally by LeBron James.
Oh, been waiting for years to do this? Yeah.
He said to him, you've been waiting to do that for 25 years.
That's good. That's good humor.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And Scott Foster stayed, of course, in the game.
Gamer.
Anything you have today?
No, I'm pretty all set.
You know you're supposed to contribute here during this part of the program,
I'm
right?
Here.
Well, no, I mean actually.
Oh, actually, have my own
some stories for garbage time. Yes, it's.
Let's see. Do I have anything in the last 30 seconds?
I mean, you're popping off with random stuff that's coming up from months ago that you thought about.
Yeah.
Remember earlier this morning?
Lucky to remember that. There's a guy that got heckled at a commencement ceremony. One of the pay your writers chants during his commencement speech. That's pretty funny. David Zaslav at Warner Brothers Discovery. The kids at BU on the side of the writers. So there's that.
Okay. I guess that'll have to do today.
It was on the sports blog I'm usually on.